Gustavo Gimeno, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you very much.
It's always such a pleasure to see you, and what a year you've been having already. I understand that you spent February in Madrid?
Yes, January, February, even part of December, because when you work on an opera that takes weeks, the preparation, but that also gives you a great possibility of really getting to work in detail with the stage director, singers, choir, orchestra. So it has been a great, beautiful journey.
And this is part of you ramping up to become the music director there, I understand.
Exactly. I'm very excited because it's a wonderful institution. I think the most relevant institution in my country, in Spain. And it's doing opera, which is doing opera, and in Europe, it's a contrast with Toronto and Canada, and being a symphony orchestra. I find that very gratifying and enriching, and what I take from one place to the other, and how the perspective that gives me in music and just working with different orchestras in different situations, you know, symphony repertoire or operatic repertoire, which I really love. And I'm very much looking forward to this for the coming years, to this combination of Toronto Symphony and Teatro Real in Madrid.
And you were made a commander of the Order of Civil Merit by His Majesty King Felipe VI. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's completely unexpected, but it's beautiful to get a recognition. And unavoidably, you think about the past and what you have been doing in the last years. And because sometimes we are so active, not only in what we are doing right now, but planning the future and preparing for the next. This goes fast. One has the feeling of things go fast and intense and really enjoyable. So such a recognition is I'm proud and very happy about, and forced me somehow to pause, relax and reflect. And it has been a beautiful recognition.
And here back home, you've been making us proud, the TSO winning a Juno Award for the Messiaen Turan Galila Symphony recording. You're first with the TSO. Congratulations on that as well.
Thank you so much. It's one doesn't do things for recognitions, but it's when they come, it's also beautiful to have such an award. And especially considering it's a historic recording, the Turan Galila is a special piece for the history of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And as I have always said, the orchestra, the musicians of the TSO played really incredible. I remember that week. It's really very demanding piece. Of course, our soloist Marc-André Hamelin and Nathalie Forger, but the performance and the commitment and the capacity of the musicians of the TSO is extraordinary. They completely deserve this recognition. So I'm very proud to be part of it.
Coming up, more work for you with the TSO. You've got the Tchaikovsky's Pathétique concert coming up. Tell us about that one.
Well, one of my favorite compositions, a wonderful late romantic, very emotional, very much related to his own life and to the last days of his life, and is full of emotions, so intimate, so tender at moments, outbursts of emotions or of anger, and also that last movement, which is so emotional, so deep, so meaningful, which fades away, creates a wonderful atmosphere. I remember the TSO did it a few years ago, and I remember also thinking at that moment, I look forward to have also my chance of doing this piece together with the musicians of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. Is a piece which is close to me, which I conducted with different orchestras, also on tour, and I can't wait.
On that program is the completion of the trilogy by Daniel Bjarnason, I Want to Be Alive, and I do remember hearing the first part of that a couple of years ago. What does this occasion mean for you to complete this work?
Well, that puts the orchestra in the spotlight. It's a full orchestral program divided in two halves, two big pieces. And always doing modern repertoire gives you perspective. I think all the living composers I know love Tchaikovsky. I remember also a few years ago talking to composer Tom Addes, and I asked him, I had conducted Tchaikovsky 4th and he attended the concert, and I thought maybe living composers are somehow detached from Tchaikovsky's music, and they don't value as much as we conductors or musicians do. And he told me, I absolutely love Tchaikovsky. And I think that's the case with all composers. Wonderful composition. So therefore, it's clear to me that composers like Tchaikovsky, among others, but influence also, especially for big orchestral pieces, influence the composers still of our days. And gives you the perspective, because when you are working with a composer who is at the hall and you are looking at the score and to what has been written, whether, you know, tempos or dynamics or layers or ideas or moods which you are trying to discover through the page, and you talk to them, somehow that contact with a living composer helps you looking at the score of Tchaikovsky in a different way. Somehow brings you closer to the vision or to the understanding of a composer. Also the other way around, when you interpret an iconic romantic repertoire like the Pathetique, I think you do it with a sense of discovery and as fresh as possible approach, even though it's a very popular piece, to bring it alive. This is very much represented, that kind of dialogue in between music which has been recently composed and music which belongs to music history, and how a dialogue is established, not only musically in an evening when you have a concert, but also just because of the rapport with the connection with a composer, which gives you perspective and helps you looking at a score which is very popular, like the one of Tchaikovsky, with fresh eyes. So I find it very interesting for me, definitely as conductor, but I think for the audience and for the musicians as well.
I remember hearing the first part of the Bjarnason, and I can imagine actually that the sense of orchestral color would be very much simpatico with Tchaikovsky. It would be very different language. But
different language, but
there?
I think composers like Bjarnason have been, among others, influenced by Tchaikovsky. There is rich in textures, and is colorful and is meaningful. And actually, imagine from the perspective of Daniel Bjarnason, this is a great project. It's a project he started years ago. We were in contact with him for a commission of initially a shorter piece, which was going to become a trilogy. Also for us, in terms of planning, the fact of that we had a first contact with that piece some years ago, and that we had already in our planning that vision of longer term vision of, okay, in a couple of years we'll revisit this. Actually, it's not going to be the piece we did back then, a couple of years ago. It's not going to be literally now included in the trilogy, because he continued working on it, so the shape somehow has changed, but the core, the skeleton of the piece is still the same, but completed. So I'm also very curious myself, because it's a first performance. It's going to be premiere here in Toronto, which, as I always say, it's part of the DNA of the orchestra and the history of the TSO, discover together with the composers of the moment new music, and to bring it to an audience which is revealing as one of the most open-minded audiences I have encountered in my life, which is our audience in Toronto, who are always showing an incredible attitude towards new music or towards things which they don't know, are less familiar with, and that you hear clearly by the way they react with their applause and also when I encounter audience members and we discuss the program and how a program came together or what they liked particularly about a concert, I realize how fortunate we are, musicians on stage, how fortunate we are to have such a wonderful audience.
The next Masterworks program that you will be leading is Mozart's Jupiter, and that includes the Italian pianist Beatrice Rana. What do you think she's going to bring to Ravel's piano concerto?
Listen, Beatrice Rana is one of my favorite musicians. This is, of course, purely subjective, but since I got to know her a few years ago, we met each other in Zurich, and she was playing a piano concerto by Beethoven. She's just such a great musician. We did last year, we were on tour and we did Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. When you rehearse with her, when you discuss a transition in a concerto, a tempo, an idea, an interaction. You realize not only that she's the intuition as a musician is great, but also her intellectual capacity of understanding a piece is very strong. This kind of musician I very much enjoy having a conversation, analyzing together, commenting. No matter which repertoire she's doing, you just realize that she's just a very serious, well-prepared, sensitive, and intellectual musician. It could be Rachmaninoff, could be Beethoven. Our former principal bassoon Mike Sweeney was telling me a few days ago, I heard the new recording of Beatrice Rana playing Bach. It's extraordinary. And that's the point with Beatrice. She has a wide repertoire. And even though she's very young, she comes across to me as so mature as a musician and as a person. So basically, whatever project she wants to do, I'm ready to embark together with her. And she is the one who proposed doing Ravel. And I thought, okay, that's not in principle what I had expected from her, but obviously she's young and doing more and more repertoire and different repertoire. Last time she was here was with Prokofiev third piano concerto already many years ago. And since then we have been trying getting her back to Toronto, and we hadn't done the Ravel piano concerto in a few years. So it's wonderful to have her back. And I'm always thrilled to make music together with her and to share stage with her.
Along with the Mozart and Ravel is a new work by American composer Alison Loggins Hull called Grit, Grace, Glory. Talk to us about this one.
Well, and of course, you when you have a commission, when you commission to a composer, you become curious. When there is also collaboration in the co-commissioning with other important orchestras is something we also curious about, and in this case is also the Cleveland Orchestra, an iconic, wonderful orchestra, which is also co-commissioner of this work. We just became very curious. We do a lot of commissions to Canadian and young Canadian composers, but there are other international composers like Daniel Bjarnason or Francisco Coy, and in this case with her, and we are curious about this new work, and we also want to be part of a project together with the Cleveland Orchestra and part of the development of a composer. So very curious about this one and looking forward. For sure it's going to be a colorful, interesting first half, having this new composition together with Beatrice Rana playing the Ravel piano concerto, and in the second half completely something else. So it's not a
it's Mozart.
It's Mozart, which is having the break in between is perfect. I don't think all programs per se have to be thematically related. It can be also divided into halves. Or like a few weeks ago, we had a clear Japanese influence, Kimiko's Pearl, a suite of the ballet, a music with Kevin Lau, we did Takemitsu. And then in the second half, we had a French journey with Saint-Saëns, Kian Soltani doing Saint-Saëns cello concerto, so having his debut with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And then we also did part of the Daphne Secloé by Ravel. So I think sometimes there is a program which is all related. Sometimes it's only one half, and then the other half is something else. I think that gives a very complete feeling at the end of the evening, but also creates refreshing contrasts. And what I love about these programs is also just the perspective, because it's also very interesting. All of a sudden, you do Mozart, which is from more than 200 years ago, and then you realize how current it can be, the music by Mozart, the drama, the beauty, the interaction, in a way it's as powerful as music which has been just recently created. It's still so, of course the quality is wonderful, but emotionally feels very direct to us still. And as I commented before, that contrast from a new composition and iconic compositions give you a mark, a path, or give you a hint of which is the right approach for those iconic pieces of the past, which is to approach them with maximum freshness, curiosity, and bring them alive with great commitment.
I love playing Mozart's Jupiter. How fun is it to conduct?
It's wonderful to do. Listen, I love opera, as you can imagine, and I love Mozart, and it's great to do symphonies, because you can create, it's not related to text, but the fact of, or to a story, but the fact of having in mind opera and drama and dialogues and text somehow imaginary in your mind. That's very interesting because it's not in the score as it is explicitly in the opera, but I think that perspective from opera to the symphonies, it's very important, and that's very helpful also in order to find the moods and to find the interaction and the drastic changes of spirit from one section to the next and from one movement to the next. It's just music which is very, very, very alive and which you can perform in a very lively way.
There's a lot of great music to come at Roy Thompson Hall. Gustavo Gimeno, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.